Welcome everyone to episode 63 of 1 hour, one decision, 1H, 1D. I am Chris.
And I am Tom.
And we take 60 minutes and play a random game on Xbox Game Pass and decide bugs with RPG elements?
Or an RPG with bug elements.
That's right. We're going to be talking about bug fables and what's the subtitle, Tom?
The Everlasting Sapling.
The Everlasting Sapling. That's right. This game was requested by Adrian, aka Depunked, from Blue Rupees Podcast. And this game was developed by Moon Sprout Games. And according to my research, my very thorough research, this game came out back in May of 2020. And I played this on the PC, and 624.63 megabytes.
Megabytes?
Megabytes on the PC. Tom, we've got a discrepancy here, though.
Yeah, we do. 746.9 megabytes on the Xbox One.
Makes no sense.
It doesn't make sense.
I don't know, man.
What are they using them for?
Moonsprout, what's going on? Why did you make it this big?
How do you grow anything on the moon?
Yeah, that's a lie.
We've got all kinds of questions for you.
That's right. Oh, what kind of game is this, Tom?
Turn-based RPG.
Yeah, I put that. I guess it's kind of redundant, but I put team/turn-based RPG because you're not playing by yourself. It's multiple people in your party. But
sure.
I guess that is what most RPGs are anyway.
Yeah, I think if you say turn-based RPG, there's an implication that you have a party.
You have a party. Yep, that makes sense. What's the game loop?
I wrote this. I don't know if I like what I wrote. Travel the world to find treasures and fight turn-based battles.
I mean, yeah, you're not wrong. I put find the everlasting sapling and increase your character's levels by fighting enemies using everyone's skills.
Yeah. Think you probably are closer to the truth.
Maybe, but that's okay. It's all right, you know?
Yeah.
Sometimes we win, sometimes we don't.
Can't all be winners, Chris.
No, but winners don't do drugs.
No, they don't.
No. That's what we learned from our days of arcades back of yore.
Yes. Speaking of days of yore, what did you like about this game, Chris?
I liked... It didn't really translate when I looked at the screenshots like very quickly, but it has a Paper Mario feel to it.
Yes.
Absolutely. You have 2D characters that, they only are a 2D plane, but they live or they move around in a 3D environment. And I was like, when you exit the first like house or whatnot, I was going back and forth because it was a kind of cool transition where they kind of dropped the front of the house and then put it back up like almost like a piece of paper or a book. So that I thought was kind of neat, but they didn't really do that effect anywhere else, at least from what my playthrough was. So unless they like used all their engineering time to do that one part and they're like, we're done. We're not doing that again. It's like, I don't know. But I will say the combat had some depth to it. So each character, had their attack abilities, but like, you're not just pressing attack and picking your enemy, you're pressing attack, and then that particular attack move has a like a quick time based thing that you have to do, right? Where like the main, I guess the tank character, what was his name, Dan? The Beetle, essentially, the Green Beetle. You have to like charge his ability, and the other one you had to like hit a particular sequence, or not a sequence, a hit like. It's like a sliding bar or a sliding object that you'd have to hit like the right time. It's like a timing based thing. And then you get more damage if you do that. Also, there's a blocking ability where like if they're attacking, you can stop that or like decrease the damage on it. And then there's a whole thing of like you can give, I don't know if you've got to this part, but you can give your turn to one of your members in the party. So that was kind of cool. I don't think I've ever seen that in another game before, but I mean, maybe I haven't really played many RPGs like this, but like the only one that really sticks out to me is like, Chrono Trigger, but
right. Yeah.
But yeah. And I thought the characters were cute. They were enjoyable. Their banter was pretty good. And I love the fact that as you're talking, sometimes someone has like a side comment that like pops up every once in a while.
Yeah.
I thought that was just, it just added a little like, it was funny. It added a little fun to the game. What about you, Tom? What did you like about this game?
So I'll start off by saying we've talked about this 100 times and we'll talk about it 100 more, which is when you make a video game, pick an art style, pick a style and stick to it, and your game will look good for a long time. Mm-hmm. So I'm digging the Paper Mario style thing that they went with, because like Paper Mario, like you could play Paper Mario today, it still looks good. I really liked their devotion to the bug theme. Like they really went all in on the bugs. All of your characters are bugs. They live in Bulgaria or something like that.
And then Bugnish is the language?
Bugnish is the language. You collect berries as mm-hmm. your currency. I'm trying to think what else. Like all of the items are like mushrooms and things that make
berries,
sense.
Like, I wanted to say rusty leaves, but that's not the case. It was dried leaves and stuff like that. That would be your sustenance. Honey, saplings, stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah. It all makes sense if you were a bug living a little fantasy bug life. Mm-hmm. I agree with you that the characters are generally likable. Mm-hmm. I thought it was cool that I finally was rewarded for chopping all the bushes down.
Yes. Yeah, you got berries from it sometimes.
Yeah.
Some items.
Yeah. It's like, you know, like being Link, right? Like if there's tall grass, I'm going to cut it down. And so I'm doing the same thing here. And every once in a while, I got a health item or something. And I was like, all right. I'm not just doing this for no reason.
Yeah, I did. I also did. Now you bring it up in the overworld, as someone call it, the fact that you can avoid enemies.
Yeah,
it's not like random, like whatever, they just pop up out of nowhere, and you can preemptively attack them.
Yes.
So like then that gives you a boost when you actually engage in combat with them. So that was kind of cool. I definitely do not miss the days of like, you're just walking around and, oh, here comes a battle. Like, you're like, I didn't go that far or whatever. So like, I'm glad that that didn't happen. What was the other thing? Oh yeah. You mentioned this actually, the hard mode, right?
Yeah.
That was cool. Maybe I like turn it on and off.
Yeah. I like that a lot. I like the idea that it's like you equip an item and it makes the game harder. So you could like, you could do it just for a battle or something. It's like, oh, I'm going to fight this guy and I know the payout's going to be pretty good, but I feel pretty confident. So I'll equip this item. I'll beat him up, get really well rewarded. And then I'll take that stuff off again and go back to playing it on normal.
Yeah, exactly. How far did you get? I'm curious. Did you get to the moth?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
I did get to the moth.
So that was cool. It's kind of weird that we was talking as we.
Yeah, thought that was interesting.
Like a venom kind of thing going on over there.
Wondered it's a hive mind? I don't know.
Yeah, like some sort of hive mind. Yeah, that's possible. Who knows? There's the mystery in that too. Does he just parties up with you later on? What else? Did you have anything else you want to bring up about the likes?
I thought the combat was pretty straightforward and so easy to pick up, you know? Yeah. I did appreciate also that when my characters leveled up, they fully healed. Instead of just getting the difference, you know, some games do it where you just get the difference, you know, and some games do it where you get a full heal.
Yes.
And I was on the ropes quite a bit in this game playing it on normal. So, I appreciated getting fully healed when I leveled up.
Yeah, I agree. And I also liked that the fact that when you use a save point, it heals you too.
Yeah.
That was nice. That was a nice thing to do. Cause I know it was a lot of times, I think I accidentally used one of those leaves like right before there was a save point. And I was like, oh, I should have just waited. But, you know, lesson learned. And that's that.
Hoard your items, guys. If you're playing an RPG, hold on to your items. You probably need them against the final boss.
As much as you can. Just hold on.
You don't need them now.
Yeah. Speaking of not needing them now, what didn't we like about this game?
Like you, I wasted a healing item. Yeah. I used it and then like 10 seconds later, I was like, oh, I guess I didn't should have held on to that. I also did not like that there was no music during the dialogue. Like
the music. I felt like there was music.
No, like there is game music, and it plays like while you're exploring the world and having battles and things like that. Hmm. But for whatever reason, at least on the Xbox One, when you were having like cutscene dialogue stuff, it was just quiet. Huh. And you'd hear the, you know, your button press of you advancing the dialogue. And you do that a lot. There's a lot of hitting A to advance the text. So it magnifies this quietness.
Yeah. Okay.
And a slight little tangent here. The Pokemon Legends Arceus does the exact same thing where it's super quiet and you have to hit A a lot. And there's no music during all the cutscenes, and it's just, it's terrible. It's like really jarring.
Ugh.
I don't know why. It's a bad design decision. Don't do it, guys.
Yeah. Put the music back on.
I guess what they're trying to like get you to focus on the dialogue, but like that works if you were doing voiceover maybe, you know, and you didn't want to drown them out. And you don't have a good audio mixer or something.
Yeah.
But if I'm just reading text, you can play instrumental music in the background. Yeah. That's fine.
Yeah.
Probably would add to it instead of detract from it.
I agree. I feel like that was the RPGs of yore would do that. They'd still have music while you're reading through the text. So
yeah, Chrono Trigger, the Paper Mario, Super Mario RPG, they all had. It's weird. It's jarring to not have it.
Yeah. And even more so, kind of piggybacking off of this, the fact that, like you said, they don't have voice acting. They have this Charlie Brown kind of noise for everything.
Yeah.
And it got really grating really quickly for me. So I think if there was music, it would probably at least help drown that out a bit. The music wasn't bad. Like it fit the theme. So... but I'm kind of not with you with the art style. I felt like it was hit or miss. I feel like they just took like the first pass of every design that whoever the artist was, like literally, like they drew it together. Like, oh, cool. Good. Just throw it in there. Good. We're good. Like, you know, they were, I don't know if they were in a rush or something like that to push this out, but at the same time it had a style, so to speak, but it wasn't great at times. During combat, I felt that the block command felt off. Like there was certain, like I know I pressed it when they came in to attack me, but then it just, I didn't get any sort of indication. Cause then I thought to myself, like, is it supposed to tell me that I actually blocked? And like a couple of times it did tell me I blocked it. So like it was a little frustrated with that, especially as you said, like, you know, I was playing for the most part. I didn't realize I was playing for the most part in normal mode, and it was a pretty challenging game. Like those fights were not
you had to kind of, you know, some of it is because I wasn't really picking and choosing them. Like you can avoid battles, but I was running headlong into most of them.
Yeah.
Which whittles you down, right? Like eventually you're taking damage as you're playing through these. And at a certain point you've taken too much damage.
Especially as you accidentally use your items.
Yep.
So be it. I will also say that I feel like a lot of times the tips that they were like throwing out throughout the world, like these little runes or something like that, or stones that have like that tell you how to play the game, whatnot. They would tell me that, but like I've already done that thing, so it was kind of like, well, I could have read this before and understood it. Like I figured it out. I mean, the game is not difficult. The combat, like you said, is not particularly difficult. But there are certain things where I'm like, you know, what's the point of giving me this information after the fact? So
yeah, that would have been one of those things where they could have like hidden that option until after you read the tooltip, and then the option is unlocked, you know, like a combat move or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah. And I don't know if you felt this way, but I think I felt most of the time, the areas that you were in felt small, like the arenas or whatever you want to call it. Like it was probably like 5 minutes worth of like exploration, so to speak, and then you moved on to the next area. Like I feel like if it was just I think it would have been cooler if they were able to like expand out the world. They really make you feel the tininess of these bugs.
Yeah,
or maybe you're not supposed to. I don't know, but like, you know, you and I have played Grounded, and I thought they did a great job of giving you this sense of like, it's a huge world, huge, like in a tiny area, right. You know? So that's one thing I wish they did a little bit better, but you know, I'm really nitpicking about that. But
you're right though. Like the scale, these could be human sized bugs for all we know. Like there's no obvious sign or sense of how like big or small they are.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, maybe it is. Maybe that's what'll happen. Like you pan out and they're actually like human sized bugs. It's like, oh my
God.
That makes
them go from being cute to being terrifying.
Yeah. Yes. They would be very terrifying. Those things, ooh. Do you have anything else you wanted to bring up, though?
I did not like that I only had one, like, attack per character. You have skills, and you can use those, and presumably, maybe as you advance, you know, we only played an hour. Yeah. Maybe later in the game you get more. But it reminds me of, like, the early levels, especially of the original Pokemon, where your Pokemon only knows Tackle. And it's like, and your opponent only knows Scratch, and you just tackle, scratch until one of you dies. And that's what you do here. You know, the variety comes from the fact that you have multiple party members and that you do have some skills, you know, that you can flex on. But there's no like, I'm going to attack and then, you know, which of these attacks am I going to use? You just have an attack.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Any other notables that you want to bring up here?
Just a little beef that I have. So this gives me Super Mario RPG vibes in a lot of ways because of the timing, you know, of the attack things, because of, you know, certain elements of like, you know, moving your party around and that sort of stuff. A lot of people, I'm sure, will say that this game has Paper Mario vibes, which it definitely does. But I never played Paper Mario because I was waiting for Super Mario RPG 2 to come out, and they canceled Super Mario RPG 2 to make Paper Mario. And so I boycotted Paper Mario.
So amazing.
These are facts. So I've never played a Paper Mario game out of spite because they canceled the game I wanted to make them to make.
Yeah. I just never played a Paper Mario game because I didn't have interest. So
apparently they're very good. Yeah. And I'm definitely missing out. And I'm sure that lots of our viewers are going to have to, you know,
I've heard very good. In fact, I have my kids got Paper Mario for the Switch. So I think they started at one point. I don't know. There's a lot of reading in that game too, which I was hoping they would use that to read. But I will also note that this game is Xbox Play Anywhere. It's Xbox, PC, and cloud compatible.
Wow.
With touch controls. So you don't even need a controller to play this game.
Damn.
So this is a perfect game to play on the toilet, people.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. For all you toilet players.
For that intersection of people who listen to podcasts and also play.
There you go. We got the Venn diagram right there. It's all complete now.
And are into bugs.
Yes, and are into bugs. Or RPGs. I mean, it's a fairly good RPG, I would say. This game does have Xbox Cloud saves. And this is what I was surprised about. How Long to Beat says that it clocks in at 25 hours to beat
this game.
To mainline it. To mainline it, 25 hours. And if you do the mainline and extras, 36 hours. That's a long game.
That's a lot of game.
Yeah. Although a lot of game for 746 and 624 megabytes respectively. So well done, Moonsprout. I think a lot of it is just going through the dialogue, though. It's like clicking through the dialogue, maybe.
Imagine how bad that Charlie Brown noise is going to be after 12 or 13 hours.
Yeah. That's got to be grating. There must be a way to turn it off. I don't know.
It's called the volume controls.
Just mute the game. It's fine.
Listen to something else.
Yeah. So we got to make our decision, Tom. Are we keeping this game?
You know what? I like the characters, and my hour went by very quickly, which is a lot of times a big deciding factor for me.
Yeah.
I could see playing more of this, so I'm going to keep it.
You know, I had a feeling you would keep this game because I know you're a bug in the lizard.
Yeah.
Enthusiast. So I'm not surprised there. But I will say that this is a game that you can casually play. And since you can play it on mobile, I think I am going to keep this game.
Hey, look at that.
Yeah. So we both are going to keep this game.
It also doesn't take up a whole lot of space.
It definitely doesn't. And like, but and you can play it on cloud. So I don't even need to really load it up anywhere either. So it's kind of neat. So those are our thoughts. Let us know what you think of this game. Follow and say hello on Twitter at TC1H1D or shoot us an email at TC1H1D@outlook.com. Check out our next streams at twitch.tv/1H1D. And if you're watching this podcast on YouTube, send us a comment down below. We promise to read and respond. And hey, we're on the QTB network. We've said this many times, actually on every episode. But be sure to check out the streamer Kung Fu Penguin, serving up Fortnite, Minecraft, and a whole lot more family-friendly content. Learn more about him and us at quitthebill.com. But his URL is quitthebill.com/kungfupenguin.
Ah.
Yeah. So, Tom.
Yes.
We got to spin the wheel today.
That's right.
We got to find out what we're playing next, don't we?
Surprise me button must surprise us.
All right, Tom. Here we go.
Oh, I could tell from your face that you're excited.
I really hope, people, that you guys give us more requests, because now this is the second scary game that we've had to play. Damn you, surprise me button. Dead Space 2.
Yeah.
It is scary because, once again, it is a scary game, yep. And it is a sequel of a game. We didn't play the first one.
Nice.
So it's like...
prepare to be lost.
Double whammy.
In space.
Yeah. Dead Space. Twice. Yeah.
Deader space.
And they're doing a remake of this game. Not this game, but the original game.
All right.
So, should be interesting. I've heard very good things about this game for people that like to get scared. So,
it's also sci-fi, so that might do something for me.
Yeah. It's like Event Horizon kind of sci-fi-ish. I don't know.
Yeah.
So, yeah. That's what we're going to be playing next. We're going to be talking about that. And thank you so much, everyone, for tuning in. And we will catch you in the next one.
Thanks, everybody.